is a Tech Tuesday.
It snuck up on you, didn't it, Wendy?
Yeah, you and I were just sitting there talking, you know, hey, I wonder what Bridget's going to talk about today. And then all of a sudden we heard the music, and there she is, Bridget Carey, CNET Senior Editor. And let's talk tech. Bridget, how are you today?
I'm doing good. Still surviving all the latest tech nonsense.
Well, your top story today, Bridget, is something I read about this morning, and I was hoping you'd want to discuss it. And this is something that I believe is going to be introduced very, very soon, if not already, and that's called the HomePod from Apple, right?
Yeah, so our review of it is out. It actually lands at stores on Friday. For those who pre-ordered, they'll be getting them in the mail. So this is their version of the smart speaker, you know, because Apple is so late to the game. We've all had the Amazon and Google ones out for a while. And we, you know, put it through its paces and detail it and even show you some videos where you compare, like, how it is to talk to Siri or Alexa. But the bottom line, this HomePod, aside from being extremely expensive at $350, it is useless to you unless you have an iPhone. So don't think of this as a really cool Bluetooth speaker that you can get for anybody. This is designed to only stream from Apple Music, or if you have Spotify, you kind of have to use your phone to beam it over there. But unlike other Bluetooth speakers, you can't just beam anything for it to play.
So if you have Alexa, you can use that with Android or iPhone, and this you can only use with an iPhone. To me, that is not a good selling point.
Everyone, I say everyone, all these big tech companies, they're really starting to kind of put up their walls, so to speak, on like, hey, you know, we really want you to only be in our little playground of Apple or Google. I mean, just recently, Amazon can no longer play YouTube videos on their, like, screen version of their Echo smart speaker because Google, you know, wants to have their YouTube, you know, on theirs. So suddenly, you know, it's becoming this world of you better choose who you want to play with. Now, with Apple, they have a couple challenges ahead. They've always kind of marketed this because they're late to the game as, oh, this is really for people who love sound. You know, this is really about sound. It's not really so much about the assistant. Well, that's because their assistant, you know, hasn't had as much time in the field as the other ones. And so they know that. But still, going forward, this is, all these things evolve the longer they're out.
It seems like a risky proposition, though, to just put up a parameter like that. Like, this will only work with our equipment, nobody else. That's quite a gamble, isn't it?
Well, that's what Apple likes to do best, right? Yeah. You have all your special dongles and your special connections, and you know, and they know you're gonna, if you already, you know, have, you know, the Apple Music, you know, ecosystem, you're gonna do that. In fact, what's interesting is that news just came out that Apple's music streaming service, it is ahead of Spotify, at least in the U.S. So, you know, the people who have iPhones, you know, they are, you know, using that more than Spotify, which is interesting. And Apple's music service is available on Android phones, too, I should say. But it shows that more people are thinking about, you know, other things besides just Spotify or Pandora or whatever you use.
All right. Now, the sales of the latest iPhone model are terrible. So what is that going to mean for us? Could I wait now and buy one at a less expensive price?
Terrible if in comparison, I mean, they still sell boatloads and boatloads of iPhones, right? You know, but the big headline was, oh my gosh, for the first time in a holiday, Apple didn't sell more than they did the last previous year. So Apple doesn't break down the numbers of how many iPhone 10s versus how many iPhone 8s they sold, but they sold 1% less, 1% of like 78.
No reason to panic. Is
all right. I panicked. Right.
No, Wendy panicked.
But will it be cheaper? I don't think so. It doesn't look like that. It looks like whenever the next model comes out, they'll have something else to sell you. And I don't think, at least the rumor is, they're not going to have a discounted version of their high-end 10. But people are complaining about the 10. Have you heard about how there could be some glitches that they're looking into when it comes to phone calls? Some people are experiencing lag, a delay in trying to answer a phone call, which is, you know, the main part of a phone. So, you know, Apple might have some fixing to do with a couple things that, you know, they always rush to be so high-tech with certain things. But it doesn't look good for them in PR, even if it's just a handful of people. who are complaining. You know, it might not be a widespread bug, but it's something that is definitely making news and doesn't look good.
I have to say, the Apple iPhone is pretty easy to use. I've always been a PC person, but I did break down and bought an Apple MacBook a couple years ago because I thought, I have an iPad, I have an iPhone, they can all work together. It is pretty easy to use. And I think the big test to this is Bill Leff. Yeah. You now have an iPhone. Tell me that isn't 100 times easier to use than that stupid Windows Tile phone that you had.
It's easy. It's not 100 times. It's easier, but I still, on an almost daily basis, there's something that still throws me that I
can't
do.
Bridget, he now answers texts, which is really bizarre, because you would text him things before, and I don't even know if he'd get them because the window wouldn't pop up.
I would send you a note. I would send you a telegram every time Wendy texted me. I'd send her a telegram back.
But I get texts back from him, and it includes sometimes more than one person. He is getting tech savvy.
Yeah.
I am proud of your progress, Bill.
Thanks.
But I would say stay away from the iPhone 10 then, because one of the big complaints I'm hearing about is that so much changed with the 10. Like our reviewers even say, Apple's losing its really easy to understand touch. That whole intuitive design. Some things are just moved on the 10 that aren't moved on the iPhone 8 or 7. You know, so I think for the sake of trying to get rid of the home button, there's a few things that you do kind of have to go, wait, how do I get to that menu? And the more they add, the more that's going to keep happening. So what's intuitive today might not be there tomorrow.
All right.
And the people who are behind technology and computers are now kind of lobbying to fight the addiction to technology. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, that was something that happened the other day, where there was a new coalition, a group of former Facebook and former Google and other Silicon Valley employees who've come together to say, hey, there's a problem. We're addicted, and they're out to lobby all these tech companies from Facebook to Apple to say, we need to kind of have more ethics in how we're designing these things, because our children's minds are at stake, our society is at stake, because we're all acting differently. So they, you know, presented all this, all these facts and studies that have been out about how our behaviors change. And they're saying, because they're former employees, they're saying, hey, we came from Facebook. You know, they're designed to keep you clicking, to keep you hitting that next like, watch that next video, you know, just keep you hooked for hours. You don't even know why you're scrolling. And they're saying that, you know, that's because it's an advertising-based, you know, social media. You know, like Twitter, YouTube, they're all the same. They all want to do things to make your lizard brain keep clicking, and you don't even know why. And so this is really just a call for ethics. They want to lobby Apple. They want to lobby Samsung and say, hey, you're the phone makers. You don't care what we're clicking on. You just care that we buy the phone, right? So why don't you install some more protections to help us control our screen time more, help us make the screen itself less addicting, help us maybe not have to look at a screen all day, because you just care if we buy the thing. You don't care what we do with it. And also they're lobbying the government just to put more consumer protections in place that, you know, kind of raise this conversation. And they're also going to be putting campaigns out in schools, just like the Truth Anti-Smoking campaigns. You're going to start seeing the truth about tech as a campaign.
Bridget, do you think when Zuckerberg came up with the original idea for Facebook, he saw it as the cash cow that it ended up being, or do you think that just happened?
I think it definitely went beyond what it used to be. You know, Facebook might have been something nice where you get to communicate with your friends. I was on it the first year when I was back in college, but this thing is just an advertising machine. And this morning on CBS, there was actually an executive from Facebook being interviewed at the roundtable, and they kept pressing her, hey, this is an advertising machine. Are you going to do anything about it? Because nothing will change if your end goal is to still get more eyeballs and more clicks. You're not going to change this addiction we have to tech. And and they're really kind of sidestepping with the answer, going, well, it benefits us if we, you know, try to show that we care. You know, they kept saying they put money into researching it, but I see a lot of push into these blog posts that Facebook makes, going, you know, we really care. We really care.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, right.
I don't know how much they're going to do to change it, and
all
it's
right.
up to us. It's up to us and how we use our devices and teach our kids.
It'll never work. We're doomed.
Glum said that on Gulliver's Travels, didn't he, Wendy?
Yes,
he was right.
Did.
The character Glum.
Bridget, thank you very much.
Always happy to tell you about how we're doomed. No problem.
Yay. Thanks,
she is
Bridget.
Bridget Carey, senior editor from CNET. You can find her and a bunch of things at CNET.com. And Tech Tuesday is sponsored by Illinois Tech Stewart School of Business.